Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 212, stanzas 1 through 4 and 6. I thought upon the days of old, and the years departed long. I held communion with my heart, by night recalled my song. 1 through 4 and 6 of Psalter 212. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, the 21st chapter, the first 14 verses. John 21, verses 1 through 14. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and at night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, and for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. Wilhelmina Arnold-Dusen, who is doing somewhat better in the nursing home. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we try to pray to Thee, who are prayerless, who know not what to pray for, and how to pray as we ought. Then we ought to come in true humility. And Lord, we have indeed a show in the flesh, but we have of ourselves no humility in our hearts. Wilt thou open to us for the first or by renewal our own guilt and our own sin, that we may be humbled, that it may bring us truly in the dust before Thee, who art so holy, who art so righteous and just, and we therefore deserve to be never heard by Thee, but instead to be cast out of Thy holy sight. Lord, we cannot give ourselves to feel it. We cannot impress ourselves with it. It is all Thy work, and Thou art the Alpha, Thou art the first one, not only the first time, but also by renewal in the life of Thy own dear children. Lord, we beseech Thee to remember us, and to give us what we cannot give unto ourselves. We are dependent upon Thee and the working of Thy Holy Spirit, and therefore we ask it of Thee again in this morning hour, that Thou may come and that Thou may give us instruction, who are so ignorant, that Thou may come and give life from the dead, that Thou may come and teach us of that one thing that is needful, and that Thou would give that we may see with a spiritual, with new eyes, what is that great treasure that we have lost in our father Adam, that we may learn to love Thee again, that we may learn to depart from evil and from sin, and to turn and to draw nigh unto the true and to the living God. Lord, come, we beseech Thee, by way of beginnings in the lives of each and every one of us who are still walking for our own account over this world. Lord, Thou knowest that we cannot die in that same way as we have been born, and we have been baptized, and many of us have made a confession of faith, even in Thy sight and in the midst of the whole congregation, made a confession that is from our side so impossible to fulfill. And yet we can go on with our vows that are lying upon us. Thou sayest better not to vow than to vow and not to pay. And Lord, we cannot pay our vows. We cannot keep our promise that we will walk before Thee in the way of holiness and in the way of bringing forth of good works. Lord, what are we but sin and a corruption from the crown of the head to the sole of our foot? And how shall it be to appear before Thee on that great and notable day when we shall have to give an account? Oh, Lord, open our eyes. Open our ears and open our understanding this day. When Thou wast here upon the world, Thou didst so many miracles. Thou didst cure the sick and make the lame to walk again. And Thou castest out the devils and Thou raisest the dead. And so the people may believe in Thee, that Thou wast the Messiah, that Thou wast He that was promised and that should come. Lord, we draw nigh unto Thee, who art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we come to bring ourselves and one another before Thee, and to lay us before Thee as those who are possessed of the devil, and who have no spiritual life, who cannot see and who cannot hear and who cannot speak, to Thy praise and to Thy glory and to Thy honor. Lord, here we lay in our own shame and in our own guilt. We cannot change ourselves. We deserve to be left to ourselves. Well, Lord, Thou didst take reasons out of Thyself. Oh, for that reason Thou camest upon the earth, that Thou may bring that salvation that was impossible for every man. Lord, Thine arm is not short in that it cannot save, and Thine ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Oh, we beseech Thee that Thou may show Thyself this day. Oh, on how many Sabbath days didst Thou work, Lord? Didst Thou show Thy power? Didst Thou manifest who Thou wast? Oh, we beseech Thee, show it yet again. Oh, show it even in this very day, in the midst of us as a congregation. Oh, that we also, as Thy servant, may not take the foreground, but that Thou may come, and that Thou may speak, and that Thou may show Thyself in the midst of us. And wilt Thou work with might and with power in us and in our dear children, Lord, that we may hear also those gracious words, which they may hear in those times. And wilt Thou show that Thou, though Thou art not with us anymore with Thy bodily presence, that with Thy majesty, with Thy Godhead, with Thy grace and with Thy Spirit, Thou art no time absent from us.
Lord, may thou show it in this morning and in this day. Oh, that it may be revealed in the midst of us that thou not only didst die to pay the price, but that thou didst rise again from the dead, that it may be experienced, Lord, in the heart of each and every one of us, that not one of us may be without it, but that thou may show us that thou indeed art alive, when we cannot raise each other from the dead, and when we cannot give ourselves one spark of true saving faith. Lord, may thou do it for thy name's sake. Look upon thy people. Oh, thou didst feed thy people, Lord. Thou gavest of the little bit of fish and loaves that came to thee. Oh, thou gavest such a multiplication that everyone may eat and they were filled. Lord, come yet also amongst us and amongst our dear children, and do for us also what thou didst in those days. And may thou show that thou art the living God. Lord, look upon all the afflicted ones and all that have special needs and cares in this world. May thou uphold and strengthen them. Be also with her that is in the old people's home. Lord, may thou remember her. Thou hast done above all our expectation. Lord, thou hast given a measure of health and strength again to her, where the family did expect that soon that she would be taken away out of their midst. Lord, may thou remember her further. May we acknowledge thee for thy great goodness bestowed upon her. And may thou yet look on her this thy Sabbath day and all that are in that place to give a blessing out of thy heavenly store. And Lord, may thou look on all the widows, widowers, and orphans, and all those that are lonely and that miss their loved ones also, that miss children, taken away out of this life. Or wilt thou be with each and every one in all the crosses that do come upon them? And wilt thou supply in the cares of each and every day? Wilt thou be with our youth and our children? Lord, it is thy Sabbath day. Oh, may thou be pleased to work. May thou be pleased to remember them. Oh, could it be, and that there are some also among them that may have a desire upon thy Sabbath day to be in thy house, and that it is not for them a burden. But, Lord, when it is a burden, oh, thou canst take all the burdens away, and in one moment thou can make it such a delight. That the hearts may burn within them after thee. Lord, we beseech it for them. We beseech it for each and every one of us. For the first time or by renewal, it all awaits thy blessing. Lord, help us. Then in the bringing of thy word, may thou strengthen us. May thou grant a rich portion of thy Holy Spirit. And may thou do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Lord, we remember also the father of our brother deacon that is scheduled to receive surgery. And thou knowest how many times that it had to be postponed. Lord, may thou help. May thou give it to go through. May thou bring him through. And may thou give that he may be given to look up unto thee and to rest in thee in all these ways. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 188, stanzas 1 through 4. The last collection today is for our school. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue, make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay, and in their own folly disgraced. 1 through 4 of Psalter 188. Congregation, the Lord, by his servant, by the prophet Isaiah, did say that he will bring the blind by a way that they knew not, and that he will lead them in paths that they have not known. The blind are those who cannot see their way. The blind are those who are so easily going off of the right path, and that are so often prone to walk in a way that is so dangerous. And thus the Lord uses this similitude concerning his own church, not to speak about natural things, but to speak about spiritual things. Because the church of God, that is indeed as the blind, that are so prone to be walking in the wrong pathway, and that never know as much head knowledge as they may have, who never know how to take the next step. How, boys and girls, are the blind led in this life? Well, their way is made somewhat more sure, often by a stick, that they can feel somewhat their way. Or sometimes we see that they are led by a dog. Or sometimes they are led by a person. And thus their way that is made more sure. But how sure is the way of that true church? Why? Because they can see? No. But because they are taken, as it were, by the hand, and they are led by the Lord himself, one step at a time, upon that spiritual journey that leadeth unto himself. We wish, with the Lord's help, to consider with you John 21, the sixth verse and its context. John 21, verse 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. So far in the words of our text. The instruction of Jesus upon his third revelation to his disciples. First, the recipients of this instruction. Second, the contents of this instruction. And third, the fruits of this instruction. The instruction of Jesus upon his third revelation to his disciples. First, the recipients. Second, the contents. Third, the fruits of this instruction. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. The third time. The first time that was to the disciples in the upper room without Thomas. The second time in that same place when Thomas is present. And here we read now the third time. That is not the third time that he has showed himself to them in a private way, because we know that he has appeared unto Peter and unto Mary and unto the women. but that he has showed himself to them publicly, that is, as they are gathered together. Sometimes the Lord is visiting his people when they are in private, that is, when they are wrestling in their inner chamber. And do we know what that is to receive such a visit of the Lord? But most of the time, the Lord is honoring his own service. That the Lord is appearing and that the Lord is visiting his people when they are together. Two or three gathered, we read, together in my name. A private visit. That is something that may be disputed by other people. Maybe they will call it idle tales. Maybe. And that even God's people, when you have said it to them, or even the minister or the consistory members, and they cannot take it over from you. Yes, in their eyes, in their ears, perhaps it is as idle tales, but when the Lord is coming in to his people, and when he is appearing unto them as they are gathered together, then we read of something that is indisputable by all. Why does he visit them? He does not visit them for the sake of the world, but he visits them for the sake of his people. That is, for his own church. And that was to show to them and to assure them that he has risen from the dead three times. Now he is coming to visit his disciples. That was not such an easy thing for them to believe. How many times, people of the Lord, does the Lord not need to come? And does the Lord not need to tell you over and over again the same thing and teach you over and over again these same lessons? We read here there are seven of his disciples. There is Simon Peter, Thomas, and Nathanael. We read of the two sons of Zebedee, James and John. And then there are also, we read, two others of his disciples. And to these disciples, he shows himself again. That is a wonder, if the Lord will come again. Is it not, people of the Lord? Because then you do not deserve that the Lord should come again. There is only one reason that the Lord comes again, and that is because he remembers his own covenant. And that is because he remembers his own word. And when we look at these people and we see to whom it is that he is giving this instruction, the recipients of this instruction, then we may ask ourselves who they are. And then two matters. First, we have their state. And second, what is their condition? And thus, their state. And these are disciples of the Lord Jesus. And they are those that have been loved by him from that never begun eternity. They are those that have been instructed by him, taught by him, and been given a love unto him also in their own heart. Thus, their state is a good one. They are those who are the favorites of the Lord, the sheep of his flock. They are born again. But every one of that sheep may be in a different condition. We know that there are older ones of those sheep, and then there are also the little ones. There are the little lambs. And so we read in the Word of God that there are the children, there are the young men, and then there are also the fathers in grace. Thus, what is now the condition of these disciples? Well, we read that they are disciples who are waiting. Waiting disciples. And where are they waiting? They are waiting in Galilee. What are they waiting for? They are waiting for the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord. Are there also those in our midst who are waiting for the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord? And what is that promise? They were told to go to Galilee, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. Thus, they are waiting for this fulfillment. They are those who have experienced something of the second person of the Trinity. They are not unacquainted with the Lord Jesus himself. We think about his prophetical office. They are those who have been taught by him. They have walked with him these 3 years. We read that he has also opened their understanding, and that they may understand the scriptures. Well, how much of those scriptures did they understand? They did not understand so much. But the Lord is not instructing them in everything in one day, but day by day, time after time, and point by point, the Lord is leading and instructing his children out of that prophetical office. Something of that priestly work of the Lord has been revealed in their life in an objective way. His death, his resurrection, what they knew of this in their own heart, that is indeed another question. What do they know of the kingly office of the Lord Jesus? That is not yet so much. Yes, they believed he was the king, but they did not yet understand the nature of his kingdom, because they will still say to him, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? So these disciples, yes, they are the children of the Lord. But they are children of the Lord that need so much instruction. They are children of the Lord that are of themselves so ignorant. And here we read they are waiting for the fulfillment of his promise. Congregation, are there also those that are ignorant? Even when we may know something, even when we may know just a little bit, even of that true work of God in our life. And then how we must say how ignorant and that we still remain. How many things are still such a mystery. How many things that we still do not understand, and that we need to supplicate from the Lord day by day to be instructed point by point, and to be led even as the blind in a way that we do not know. And then the Lord will indeed instruct his people, but it will not be in a way as they think. And these disciples who are waiting, they now, we read, go to work. And why do they go to work? They go to work because the Lord Jesus stays away so long. And he does not come And that takes now too long. And therefore, Peter, he says, I go a-fishing. Is that wrong of Peter? Cannot imagine that this is wrong of Peter. These disciples of the Lord, they are indeed called by the Lord Jesus for a very special work. But they are not yet sent out by the Lord Jesus. And therefore, these disciples, they must wait until that time that the Lord Jesus is going to come and send them forth. And then they also have families that need to be fed. And therefore, Peter says, I go a-fishing. You can understand, on the other hand, their great discouragement. That it takes so long and that they go back in these moments to their old trade again. No, we cannot say that it is wrong of them, yet the Lord is going to teach them here a great lesson. That is why the Lord is waiting. When is it that the Lord is instructing His people? The Lord is instructing His people mostly in the time of waiting. And it is in that time of waiting that they learn more and more about themselves. That they are instructed in self-knowledge and spiritually, that is now the way of the church of God. Because the Lord has made His people into a waiting people. But often while that people are waiting, that they become a working people. That is not only once, but that is often time and again. The Lord has brought that people out of a broken covenant. But that people are in their waiting, in their impatience, in their discouragement, in all the mysteries, that they are going back again unto their old trade. That they are going back again into that old covenant, that covenant of works. Is that proper? It is not proper at all. Nor is it necessary. And why not? Because if it is of grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be by works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. No, it is not necessary, but it is something that needs to be learned by each one of the people in their own experience. That was not only Peter, but we read about the rest of the disciples. They say, we also go with thee. It is easy for us to condemn them. It is easy for us to condemn such ones of that church of God, and that go back to that former trade. But congregation, is there here a people who say, I need to be instructed? And then time and time again, to my own shame, that I am returning again to that old and broken covenant. That is why the Lord Jesus, He will teach His people something. And what will He teach them? We read what He taught them. He taught them, boys and girls, in a very visible way. And how did He teach them? We read, and that night, they caught nothing. They caught nothing. are there also those in the midst of us who catch nothing with all your labors? These disciples, they are laboring. They are laboring all night long. Every time again, they are throwing out that net. And every time again, they are hoping, maybe, maybe, maybe. And every time again, they bring that net in, and that net is empty. Thus it is to no avail. All night long. And slowly, not in the beginning, no, in the beginning they are hopeful. And slowly, every time that they are throwing out, every time that they are gathering that net in again, and they receive nothing, that slowly, step by step, their hopes are being diminished. That they become slowly more and more discouraged. And now, how is it with them? They have no sustenance but that old life. They have no food but that old life. And not only have they no food thereby, but they must miss at the same time the blessed presence of the Lord. As in past times, that was so different, and the Lord was there, and the Lord multiplied the loaves, but now He is not there. Congregation, where are those people that do labor and do catch nothing? That to labor to make it right with God. That to labor that you may receive a blessing out of His word in the house of God. And that in all your labors that you become more and more discouraged. Where are those that have to say the same as these disciples when it is asked of them in those moments in the morning? Children, have ye any meat? Who asks this? It is a stranger. They do not know Him. What is then our answer in this morning hour? When we have come to the house of God our whole life long, and when a stranger comes in the door in these moments, and he will say to us now, children, have ye any meat? What have now you eaten? What have now you drunk? Even in all the years that you have come to the house of God. Children, have ye any meat? Have ye anything to eat? Have you anything to drink? Have you anything to sustain that spiritual life? It can be that even we have made a profession in these years. It can be that we have perhaps even come and gathered together with the Lord's people around His own table. But children, have ye any meat? I think the disciples, they were embarrassed. No, they were very experienced fishermen. They knew how to fish. And what must they say to the question of this stranger? They must say, no. That was not easy to say. They give no explanation. They have no explanation. They only say no. How is it, people of the Lord? Maybe the most experienced of the church of God that has to say no. What do you think, boys and girls? Do you think God's people are rich people or they are poor people? Oh, they are the most rich people that you can find in the whole world. Why is that? Do they have so much gold and silver? Do they have the most beautiful house? Do they have the most beautiful automobile? Do they have the most money in the bank? No. No, and yet they are the richest people in the whole world. Do you believe that? They have treasures. They have treasures that we read in the Bible that moth and rust cannot corrupt, and that thieves do not break through to steal. And yet, the Lord will make them to feel over and over again how poor that they are. That the Lord will fill them with a sense of their poverty, not once in their life, but by renewal over and over again. We read that they are emptied from vessel unto vessel. Many people mock with those afflicted and poor church of God. Oh, let us not mock with them. No, let us ask the Lord if He will make us one of that blessed people. This is really not a stranger. They know Him so very well. But He hides Himself from His own disciples. And when the Lord is coming in the life of His people, then He is not always discerned when He is present. And then He is present and they don't realize that He is present. But then He is giving them at the same time a blessed instruction. Who has kept those fish out of that net? Was that just coincidence? Did it just so happen to be that way? That they have fished always, all night long, in the wrong places, just where the fish were not? No. No, that was the Lord Jesus Himself, who is the divine creator and the upholder, the God of providence in this world, who is busy when those disciples are fishing, busy doing what? Busy making sure that not one fish will come into that net. That is, that he may make His own children feel how helpless that they are to provide for themselves. From all those labors in that old covenant, then the Lord will make sure that they eat nothing therefrom. That the Lord will strip that all away from them. Why? Because He wants to show them a new way. That is, He will instruct them further. And what will He instruct them? That is our next point. And He gives instructions to His disciples, those disciples whom He has brought to confess their poverty, to say they have nothing, they have no meat. And then He gives them instruction. And what does He say? Cast the net, He says, on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. That is his instruction. That is what he tells them to do. There are two things in here. There is a command and there is a promise. Thus he gives them first the command. And that command that is to cast the net on that right side of the ship. He says, cast it now on the side you have not been fishing on all night long. Cast that net now on the opposite side. There are some that say that the fishermen never cast their net on that right side of the ship, always on the left side of the ship. Thus the disciples are not used to this at all. And thus, you can imagine that those disciples, they look a little bit askance at the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not know who this stranger is. And this man, he is standing there. They know not if he has ever fished even in his life. And these are now men that have done this as a living. Thus, that is very humbling instruction for the disciples, as if they just do not know even how to go about this trade. And it also goes very much against their nature in that trade to cast it now on the right side of that ship. But now that stranger, he gives them with that command, also a promise. And what is the promise? He says, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Thus he speaks with a great certainty. He says, is that really what you want to find food? And congregation, then we have also a wretched, wretched human nature, because our human nature in its pride will not listen to such instruction that goes against our pride, that must humble us. But now there is a promise connected to it, and that is that they shall find food. That there shall be fish there. Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. What shall now overcome? Will it be the pride of the natural man that says, O stranger, just keep silence. We know what we are doing. We have done this all night long. Or will it be that desire to receive that food? What will now overcome? What will be the strongest one? Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. All God's people also need to be taught where that they can find that food that may feed that spiritual life that the Lord has planted in their soul. And they may find that food in a way that is so contrary to their nature, in a place where they are not used to looking for that food at all. That is, on the other side, what is so contrary to their expectations. By nature, but also even after received grace. That they need to be shown it time and time again. Or are there those who must in this morning confess your utter poverty? Have you no food, congregation, for your soul? Can you not find how to come into that blessed favor and communion with God, that your soul that says, that seeks after, that your soul longs for, that you have been digging in that Word of God for maybe now for years. And must you now confess your poverty? Do all your labors bring you only discouragement as it is in that dark night? Psalmist says, I thought upon the days of old, and that I recalled my song in the night, but he cannot bring it back again. Thus there is a people that become poor with everything that the Lord has given to them, even in their life. That all their striving that is to no avail. And now it is to those disciples that the Lord Jesus says to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. What side is that? That is that side of grace. That is that side of free and sovereign grace. Not of works, he says, lest any man should boast. Congregation, are there those that may ever be given by the Lord to fish in those waters? That is the side of free forgiveness. And the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, as opposed to all the attempts to self-payment. That is that side of the ship that the Lord says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which cannot satisfy your soul? Hearken diligently unto me, he says, and eat that which is good. Incline thine ear, come unto me, and your soul that shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. O come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Ye come by wine and milk without money and without price. That is the instruction. The instruction of the Lord Jesus to these poor fishermen who have all night been laboring, and they have come up time and again with nothing. Congregation, are there yet some who are ever given by the Lord to fish in such waters? Let us sing. Psalter 416, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. As the heart about to falter in its trembling agony panteth for the brooks of water, so my soul doth pant for thee, yea, a thirst for thee I cry. God of life, oh, when shall I come again to stand before thee in thy temple and adore thee? 1, 2, and 5 of Psalter 416.
Trembling
our last thought, the fruits of this instruction. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. They cast therefore. That is a wonder, congregation. Then we hear what has won out. They cast, therefore. That speaks of obedience. That speaks of obedience despite their better knowledge. And that speaks of obedience despite the pride of their own hearts. It speaks of obedience despite all the experience of their whole life. How is that with us? Do we ever hear such instruction as these disciples may hear from the Lord Jesus? Cast the net on the right side of the ship. Oh, sure we do. That has been brought to us our whole life long. That has been preached to us in God's house from Sabbath unto Sabbath in a general way that is coming to the ears of each and every one. Thus we hear it time and time again that salvation that is not of our own strength, that is not of our own power. We hear that time and time again that old covenant that is a broken covenant, and in that way we can never enter into that kingdom of God. We hear that over and over that the Lord, he has made a new way, that there is salvation to be found alone in that one name that is given under heaven among men. That it is a way in the Lord Jesus Christ whereby man will not receive any of the glory. But how is that instruction now received in our heart? Did we ever fish in such waters? By nature, congregation, we will not fish in those waters. Sure, there are multitudes of people and they are boasting about great fishes, but they are all caught on that other side of the ship. They are all caught in the way of self-help. They are all caught in that way of creature strength, in that way of human reasoning. They are caught by the exercise of the free will of man. They are caught by accepting Jesus, it is said. But what kind of fish did the disciples catch? They caught all fish that they did not bring in that net. They knew that very well. They experienced that all night long. But they caught fish that the Lord Jesus brought in that net. And on the side of that ship, we will never fish by nature. On that side of that ship, we need to be instructed by the Lord himself. Even the disciples need to be instructed in it. And even God's children, time after time, are not ready so often for that instruction. Certainly not when they begin fishing. No, certainly not in the beginning of that new and blessed life. With all their hunger and with all their thirst, they are not ready to throw that net against their nature on that other side of the ship. No, it is not until the whole night is spent. It is not until they come up with nothing time after time. It is not until they expect to go home with nothing. It is not until that confession has to come out of their own mouth. Children, have you any meat? No. And then what? They do not know who Jesus is. No, he is still hiding himself from them. Yet there is a power. There is a certain power of persuasion that is coming along with the words out of the mouth of this stranger. They feel something. Do you know, boys and girls, what is the great difference between us as ministers or as elders and the Lord Jesus? We can bring things to your ears, but the Lord Jesus can bring it in your heart. Is that not something? Do you ever desire that? That you say, Lord, may I receive that knowledge in my heart? Then you don't have to come to us, because we can't give you that blessing. Then you must go to the Lord. And now the Lord Jesus did not even show yet who he is. He only spoke. And those words, although they were so against the nature of these disciples, though that was so humbling to their pride, yet those words, they come to those disciples with a certain power and with a certain force. So that, what is the result of this instruction? What is the fruit of this instruction? That is obedience. And they cast, therefore. That is now the work of grace in the life of his people. That is that the people are falling on the side of the Lord. Is that not the same way that Esther went in unto the king? She says, if I perish, I perish. Naaman knew what it was to fall on the side of the Lord and to go down into that muddy water of Jordan. And these disciples also know what it is. Against all that is of the flesh to fall on the side of the Lord and to cast that net on the right side of the ship in the moment that they had thought to go home empty-handed. And congregation, what does the Lord now promise to them who wait upon him? He says, they shall not be ashamed. And that is now what we read in our text. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Now they couldn't draw it. Of what does this speak? It speaks about an overabundance. That is the way of the Lord. For that church that comes into their utter poverty. Now do you see the riches, boys and girls? Now do you see the riches of the blessed people of the Lord? It wasn't in what they caught in their own strength. It was not with what they could come back with in the morning and to say, look now what we have caught. No, from their side they caught nothing. Where are all their riches? Their riches are in what the Lord has given to them. And they will know that in their life. This is going to be their experience. And therefore, there is going to be a church that is going to sing. They are going to rejoice. Not in their own work, no. But they are going to rejoice in a blessed, free, and sovereign grace. And they are going to rejoice in an overabundance. What did David say? He says, my cup runneth over. Where sin abounded, their grace did much more abound. The bride, she says, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. Who can describe what the riches and the overabundance of the Lord is to a hell-worthy creature? The disciples, they are not even able to draw this net now into the ship because of the overabundance of this blessing of the Lord Jesus. And that is how it is experienced by moments already, congregation, in this life. Already in this life. And how shall it be after this life? When I have not seen nor ear heard, but the Lord has laid away for his people. That is why Paul says this mortal that is going to have to put on immortality in order that it may be received. Congregation, do we know even a little taste of this abundance in our life? Then it is necessary to be brought to the end of our own strength. That we may receive it how? That we may receive it freely. Freely. Oh, we hope that we are never satisfied with that which we have in our minds alone. It cannot save us, and it cannot give us any peace, and it cannot give us reconciliation with God. It is true. To receive it, then we have to die. And to die, that is impossible for our flesh. We have no desire to have a night as those disciples. We do not. How many of us will go out when we know that there shall be no fish? We have no desire that all those fish that shall be kept out of our net. We are striving for exactly the opposite. It is the mercy of the Lord. It is the mercy of the Lord when we will have not one fish in our net. Is that your life? Is that your life? If that is now your life, then you need not be too discouraged, because then the Lord is not far away. No, he may yet be hiding. He may be yet unto you as a stranger, but soon he is going to reveal himself. And if the Lord may give it, we hope in next week that we may have a few words about that revelation. But for that people that wait on him, he says, they will never be ashamed. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we must be emptied in order that we may be filled. Thy disciples may experience it, and it may be for them a great wonder, as it will be for every one of thy church. Lord, forgive our many sins. Bless thy word, instruct us therein in thy truth, and lead us in thy ways, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 312, stanzas 1 through 4. I love the Lord, who heard my cry and granted my request. In him who hears and answers prayer, my trust through life shall rest. 1 through 4 of Psalter 312.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.